Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday.
Time for another edition of the Reardon Roundtable. Now, Mark Reardon on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the very first Reardon Roundtable of the year. It's a slow start to the new year. We're going to struggle, I think, a little bit to fill the time this hour, but we're going to give it our best try. Let me welcome in the panel on this Friday afternoon. Jane Duker is raring and ready to go. Jane, how are you?
Very good. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Doing okay. Happy New Year to you. And Alderman Jack Coder is with us as well. Jack, how are you?
Mark, I'm doing swimmingly. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. And former St. Louis County Police Chief, current County Councilman Tim Fitch is with us as well. Chief, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for the invitation.
I'm gonna just start with something. You get to a point, I think, with everything that's going on in the world, on the planet, in politics, really just run the gamut. You don't know what's real and what's not real. So let me just toss this out this afternoon, because, and I'm not trying to spread misinformation. You'll see where I'm going here. Apparently, Anderson Cooper said something about Olive Garden because some of the Trump supporters went to Olive Garden and he slammed Olive Garden. So my friend Scott Jennings, honestly, God, I don't even know if this is real or not, but it's funny. So I'm gonna share it here. I think it might be real. A statement from Olive Garden. At Olive Garden, we're all family here. Our traditions, like the unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks, have been enjoyed by many guests from all over the country and throughout the entire political spectrum. It's come to our attention that a few of our guests had taken part in a vicious attack in our nation's capital. We have worked with the FBI and Holiday Inn in Washington to identify several guests who participated. In response, here's the meat. Or the meat sauce, isn't it? In response, Olive Garden has invalidated our never-ending pasta pass for several guests and revoked a lifetime pasta pass from Sean Hannity. So that's the breaking
news.
This afternoon. And again, I don't even know if that's real or fake. Honestly, parody, satire. It all seems to be. I know. Now I want to get in on that.
All right. Well, there's a lifetime pasta pass that I'm not included in. I want one.
I know, right? All right, let's kind of bring it back home here, and it is serious what happened this week. And Chief, I'm going to start with you from a law enforcement perspective, because there are many questions about how this happened at the nation's capital, given the fact that everyone on the panel today knew that this could potentially happen. I was having conversations with Weeks saying, man, I don't know what's going to happen on January 6th, but it certainly could be a little crazy. So how did that happen, just from a law enforcement perspective, in your opinion?
Well, from my opinion, and I've been through the Secret Service's Dignitary Protection Program. It's a two-week program in D.C. I went through when I was the police chief, and I will tell you that I was shocked at what I saw yesterday. One of the things that clearly happened is they were overwhelmed very quickly. Now, there could be very good reasons why that happened, and I'm not saying they're acceptable. I'm just saying they could be good reasons why they happened. First of all, they were outnumbered big time. I believe they went in with the thought, the Capitol Police went in with the thought that this would just be I'll call it a First Amendment protest. But clearly, the way this thing was amped up leading up to it should have been clues to the law enforcement people. This isn't going to be a regular freedom of speech, First Amendment type of event. this is going to get ugly. This has the potential of getting ugly. Now, you know, Mark, the cops have been hammered since Ferguson about being in riot gear, about having, as I heard Cori Bush say, tanks at riots and firing rubber bullets. So you didn't see any of that initially because they no longer do that for these things unless they have good intelligence ahead of time that there are going to be people in the crowd that are going to try to, you know, rush the building or attack them or whatever. So the cops are reluctant to wear that gear. So they have it staged away from the event. So that's why it took them a good 45 minutes to see the change in clothing and the riot gear and all of those things that they could use to go after. The other thing to keep in mind, Mark, is I'll just use the St. Louis County Council, for example. Just a few weeks ago, Lisa Clancy, the chair, stripped out a police request to buy pepper balls. And those are used in riot control. She didn't want to see that being spent. You're seeing that all over the country with people like that. So tools that you use to control crowds are not as available as they used to be.
Non-lethal, right.
So we're seeing that. So that leaves you with sticks and shields. That's what it leaves you with if you're not allowed to use tear gas and pepper spray and things like that. So we're seeing that. And I don't know if the Capitol Police had that issue when this attack happened.
One of the most shocking things, Jan, I'll let you kind of pick up here, is just not only the videos that you see where the police are being overrun, but the aftermath of when they had pepper spray in their faces and trying to wash out their eyes, the officers. Now we know, by the way, that there was an officer who died in this insurrection on Wednesday as well. So five people died. And this is another one of those situations, honestly, and I'm not trying to make light of this because somebody died, but honestly, it's hard to determine sometimes what's true and what's not true. And one of the victims who died apparently died. Now, again, this is just bizarre. What we know apparently is that he had a taser and he may have tased himself accidentally, and that's how he had a heart attack, one of the protesters. So that's bizarre in and of itself. There's a little bit more to that story that I don't have verified, but again, weird things that have happened on Wednesday as well. Jane, look, we talked for 2 months. We can start assigning blame and talk about some of this other stuff too, but ever since Election Day, I've rejected the narrative about the widespread, you know, voter fraud, but this was building and building and building. So I don't know why there wasn't intelligence that offered an example of the potential of violence, because I think everybody knew that it was there.
They had sweatshirts. I mean, they had printed sweatshirts that said, you know, we're going to fight. I mean, and then you had found out today that the Republican Attorney General's Association sent out robocalls to get people to the rally. And in the robocall, it specifically says, we're going to the Capitol. So, I mean, to me, and I think that the chief of the Capitol Police has already resigned. McConnell and Pelosi are actually in the chain of command over the Capitol Police. And, you know, they were asleep at the switch. And so now you saw the Washington, D.C. mayor say, you know, maybe we ought to put the Capitol Police under D.C. because, you know, of this kind of failure. Well, then you had the problem of trying to get in the National Guard, and the Army DOD wouldn't approve it. So that took a ton of time away from them trying to help. It was a failure. And I think that anybody will tell you that it was a security failure. People should not have been able to get into the Capitol like that. Now, I know there's an issue of, you know, the public gets to go to the Capitol. Okay. It's their building. So there's a fine line here about how this is supposed to go. But I mean, these people were angry. They were destroying property outside the Capitol. That was a pretty good indication that they shouldn't be allowed in the Capitol. But yes, people died, and it is a complete and utter failure. It was an insurgency. These people, there are a group of people that believe this misinformation lock, stock, and barrel. And they don't have their leaders telling them it's not true. Mitt Romney's speech is likely to be one of the most important speeches in our country's history, because he basically just laid bare and said, you know what? It's your responsibility as an elected leader to tell your constituents the truth. And just because they have stupid ideas doesn't give you carte blanche to come to the Capitol and, you know, Hawley and Cruz to put forth this nonsense. Just because a lot of people are wrong doesn't mean you perpetuate.
Look, you know, let me offer an example of something that happened to me today. And the reason that I didn't buy into any of this stuff from the beginning is because I saw the potential of not only this happening, but losing these seats in Georgia. And by, doesn't it seem like that was the Georgia runoffs was like 3 months ago or something like that? And it was just Tuesday.
Right.
We barely
right.
have even talked about that. But Jack, I'll let you pick up on this. So I went to a local business in Baldwin this morning, and some friends who own the place. And I noticed that my friend who was the owner was talking to another customer, an older woman. And at the end of that conversation, my friend comes up and goes, she thinks, and by the way, my friend is, you know, conservative and has been a Trump supporter. There's a difference between Trump supporters and what I'm about to describe. So this woman, I'd say she was in her 70s. She firmly believes, and she's not alone, there are people who firmly believe after Wednesday that this guy is still going to be president next week. I mean, they've in their heart of hearts, they. Why do they believe that? Because they've been told that over and over again from crazy people.
Yeah, right. And we've got certain politicians that are feeding this narrative, this misinformation, including the president of the United States. I mean, the Mitt Romney standing up was great. Mitch McConnell finally standing up was great. Frankly, it would have been helpful if they had done it weeks ago to maybe help quell some of this unrest. And they're not as complicit as the likes of Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz. But, you know, when they let this drag on for weeks and weeks, it didn't help. There's no way this election was getting overturned. Right. I mean, these states went through their processes. The challenges were exhausted. The votes were confirmed by the legislatures and now by the Congress. It's over. And the fact that people are still clinging to some crazy notion that somehow Donald Trump's still going to be the president after January 20th is it's just sad. And it's too bad that elected leaders won't stand up and just tell the truth, even when it's hard.
I mean, you can't fault people for believing United States senators and the president of the United States. You would like people to be able to believe our elected leaders. And we are to the point now where that is not appropriate.
And our elected leaders know better. You know, the likes of Josh Hawley, he knows what he's doing. He knows the law. He touts himself as a constitutional lawyer. The guy went to Yale Law School, for God's sakes. I'm just a SLU Law Knight student, and I can figure out some of this stuff. I'm sure he can. And he's just perpetuating these lies and get these people along for the ride for what I guess he thought was
I want you to weigh in on this, but you know, one of the reasons that I have divorced myself from Josh Hawley to a large extent is because I'm just a talk show host, okay? But I knew that the Constitution did not allow for that possibility, and I thought it was terribly irresponsible and misleading. And Tom Cotton said this. He goes, misleading them into thinking that somehow yesterday's actions in Congress should or could reverse the election. Congress can't do that, nor can they impose an emergency audit of the results, and they knew it. What happened yesterday is in part the result of misleading claims in recent weeks. And also what happened Tuesday night was the result of misleading claims in recent weeks that the people of Georgia's votes didn't count. Look, if you tell people their vote doesn't count, the election is rigged, you shouldn't be surprised when a few of them don't turn out to vote. And of course, he's right about that. And I think that we can kind of get to Georgia a little bit later this afternoon. But Chief Fitch, you're a Republican. Josh Hawley made the case, and he did it even after what happened on Wednesday afternoon, that this was his only course of action. That and he's right about one thing. There are millions of people who do believe that this election was stolen.
Right. And I kind of steer everybody back to Mike Pence. Let's not forget that he said, I have no control over this. I have no legal authority to reverse any of this. So there's a fair number of Republicans out there that said, maybe not early enough, maybe not often enough, that what you're hearing from some on the far right just isn't true. It's not legal and it's not true. Certainly you're hearing those people say that now. But as far as, you know, let's make sure we don't ever go down the path as every Democrat's bad, every Democrat is this, every Republican is this. Everybody, you know, does their own thing. And what Josh Hawley has done is he has really pandered to his base in rural Missouri. That's clearly mostly what this is about for him. He doesn't see any political fallout. He's very good at reading the tea leaves and figuring out what he should do and what he shouldn't do. What he's done now, though, I think, is he's boxed himself in to being a Missouri senator or something in Missouri. I doubt that he'll be able to take this and run with it nationally. which was probably his goal. So I think he's kind of shot himself in the foot there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. He also lost his book deal, and we'll come back with much more for the Reardon Roundtable this hour. Hang on! Former St. Louis County Police Chief, current County Councilman Tim Fitch, Alderman Jack Coder, Jane Duker, all on the panel. Much more coming up on KMOX.
The Reardon Roundtable on KMOX.
Well, I have to apologize. Alderman Jack Coder, County Councilman Tim Fitch, Jane Duker, I used the word in the first segment, I used the word insurrection, and someone clipped me on that on Twitter, and I had to apologize because it's not like that's the literal definition of what happened this week, a violent uprising against an authority or a government. There's a book called The Dictionary that some people might find useful. All right, this is a guy who is on Mediaite, but I thought the observation was rather interesting here because Simon & Schuster took away the book deal that Josh Hawley, Senator Hawley, had, and Colby Hall broke it down this way. We'll see if the panel agrees.
This is great news for Josh Hawley. He's going to, A, sell a million books with whatever publisher decides to publish his book. There's plenty of publishers out there, a number of conservative publishers who, you know, he'll likely sell a million books. So this is great news for Josh Hawley in that. He also now has a sequel. The book that was he was writing was The Tyranny of Big Tech. Now he can write the sequel, The Tyranny of Big Publishing.
Well, it probably will help him in a weird way. Who wants to start on this one? Because he will be able to sell more books. But let me ask this serious question because I'm getting a variety of opinion. Jane, I'll start with you. He's not going to resign from office. Some people think that it's over for Josh Hawley. Well, he's got four more years in his term. I don't see a resignation coming. People are calling for it. So what is his political future? I mean, some would say the political aspirations to run for president and national office are dead. Is this going to haunt him forever?
I do think it will, because I do think that finally Democrats and Republicans got tired of Donald Trump and his BS, and it's over. And he is always going to be associated with inciting a riot on our Capitol. And I don't know how I think there are things you can live down. I don't think this is one of them. And I do think, Scott Jennings, friend of the show, did a phenomenal speech on CNN saying he should be apologizing to his colleagues. He should apologize all those people, who were terrorized. The Republicans are not going to forget him. And I think people were willing to live with his nonsense until after the siege on the Capitol. Then he comes back and does it again. I think he lost his own colleagues.
Yeah, and this is the country's first introduction to Josh Hawley. We're all Missourians. We've been living with him for years. He was our attorney general and his junior senator. You know, this was his launch into the national stage, was going to be him objecting to these state election results. And I think it has terribly backfired for him.
Yep. Well, Chief, he put all his chips on the table. He went all in on Trump. A lot of politicians did. He got suckered on the river, I would say. And, that was a risk that he took. I don't think you could have foreseen what would have happened on Wednesday. But I do hold him and others culpable for the way this went down. And I'm not so sure. People won't like this. I'm not practically in favor of impeachment or the 25th Amendment, because I think we're down to 12 days here. And I'm not sure what point it would serve. However, inciting a violent, riot is certainly a crime, isn't it, Chief, as a member of law enforcement?
It is. I'm not too familiar with anybody ever being charged with it. If anybody should have been charged with it, it would have been the boyfriend of Michael Brown's mother the night he got up on top of that vehicle. And when the grand jury announcement was made and said,
valid points,
burn it down.
That's right.
That's right. He did.
Right.
And then everything around there burned down. So, so that just doesn't happen very often. But I can't put that individual in the same class of somebody like a United States senator. Certainly somebody's word like that. And by the way, I didn't hear anything from Josh Hawley, I guess my defense of him, that said, let's go down to the Capitol, let's break in, let's break windows, let's have people get hurt. I didn't hear any of that. I did hear Giuliani use the word combat, which immediately made me sit up and go, that's not a word you use when people are at the height of all these tensions and things like that. So there are some people, I think, that are culpable for...
I'll tell you who's pretty culpable is Don Jr. If you I never really even got to the audio from what happened the other day because we were in CBS coverage. But if you hear Don Jr., he was revving him up to do
and
exactly
the president
what happened.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything from Junior at all. I did see Giuliani. I did see the president's talk. I don't know that any of them would have done any of that if they thought people were actually going to go break into the building and hurt people and attack cops and do the things that they actually did. I think if they all had a reset button, they would have hit the reset button and say, now, listen, let's tone this down a little bit. Let's think about this. You could be upset. And what Josh Hawley did on the Senate floor, he's allowed to do. And by the way, it's happened with Democrats in the past. It just wasn't so hyped up like it was this time. And it was just waiting for someone to drop that match into that really volatile situation. And that's what happened.
Well, he did do the fist pump in front of the Capitol to them. I mean, that.
Doesn't mean go break into the Capitol and start.
It also doesn't mean that he didn't have connection with these protesters and wasn't feeding off the frenzy that he was creating. I mean, you know, and whether he's legally responsible, he certainly is morally responsible. And I think he and Ted Cruz will forever, ever, ever be associated with inciting this riot. And I'm not sure they will ever live it down.
Well, whoever ever runs against either of them will always have those clips and will always use that.
Yes. And that picture of him.
All he's done outside of Missouri. Inside of Missouri, tomorrow he'd get reelected.
Probably.
Well, he would. However, you guys, all right, you're the politicians. We already saw David Humphreys peel back, although I think he had previously. It really is about the reaction from corporate leaders and donations moving forward. That's where, I mean, look, I think it's a little too early to write him off completely for the future anyway. He's a young guy. But there's going to have to be some, smoothing over of the waters with people that matter in Missouri. And I don't know that he's willing to do that right now. I think he's kind of digging in.
No, I mean, he doubled down on Tuesday night when everyone else was sort of backpedaling.
And keep in mind, 4 years is an eternity in politics. Mm-hmm. A lot can change in the next 4 years. So I wouldn't write him off.
I wouldn't, but I think I will play the tape of Scott Jennings. I will play the tape of Tom Cotton. I will play the tape of every Republican that denounced this guy. And Mitt Romney, I mean, we know who Mitt Romney was talking to. Mitt Romney was talking to Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz.
Yeah, but Jane, the millions of people who supported Donald Trump, they don't care what Mitt Romney says. They care more about what Josh Hawley says. That's sort of what this is, about right now. But hang on, we got much more to get to. We'll talk about how Antifa drove so much of this. Really. None of it on Wednesday, but we'll get into that. And I have a good debunk. It's not hard to debunk that. It really isn't. I don't know why people aren't thinking through this. We'll do it next after the news on KMOX.
The Reardon Roundtable on KMOX.
There continues to be allegations that Antifa was the driving force behind the violence on Wednesday, and it's just nonsense. And let me just offer up one name as an example of that. And look, I would offer up the possibility that there were some folks from Antifa that were trying to stir some things up, sure, but that's not what happened. And I don't want to be insensitive here, but it's hard not to use the name Ashley Babbitt. Was Ashley Babbitt Antifa? Was the guy who posed in Pelosi's office Antifa? No, they were QAnon wacko crazies. So that's what happened there. It's baffling to me how people can still insist that it was Antifa, knowing that people have already been identified like Ashley Babbitt, who was clearly not Antifa. And if Ashley Babbitt was not unhinged on this stuff, she would still be alive today.
I would just tell you that, can we all agree, and let's call them criminals? Yeah. I don't care if they're Antifa. I don't care if they're QAnon. I don't care if they're BLM.
Exactly.
I don't care who they are. They are criminals that trespassed, burglarized, damaged, assaulted, hurt cops. There's no other way to
exactly.
Kill the cops. I mean, kill some of these folks, there could be felony murder charges against some of these people. There's a police officer and a woman. There's more than two people dead as a result of this conduct.
Well, and we're going to find out Ms. Babbitt, who was shot in the neck by a Capitol police officer. That's still going to be interesting, that investigation. I'm going to tell you, I'll predict what that's going to be. That's going to be an accidental discharge. I think an officer accidentally fired that shot when she was coming into that building and didn't mean to shoot her. We'll see. Maybe I'll be wrong. But as soon as I heard it and started hearing some of the details, it sounded like somebody let go an accidental discharge.
Well, there's several angles of the video. Yeah, if you see the video, that is certainly a possibility, because you can see that the gun was sort of pointing in her direction, and then all of a sudden it just goes off, and I could see that might be what happened. Absolutely.
And I haven't seen the video, just based on what I've heard and seen and read. That sounds like an AD to me. That the investigation will show that eventually. One of the things I would tell you they wouldn't have done, based on my training, is just shot somebody because they were coming into the building.
Right.
I got this question yesterday from a TV reporter that said, so if this crowd was breaking into the White House, could the Secret Service just unload on them and start shooting them? And I said, well, it depends. Is the principal they're protecting in the building? Are they just going to come in and destroy property? There's a big difference between property protection and protection of someone's life. So I think in this particular case, it's going to be an AD, an accidental discharge of that police officer's firearm.
Well, and what I want to recall to people, because, I've been hearing, I believe that the response to this was inadequate. That decision was made at a higher level. I don't think that the line police officers were out there. I know we're getting this whole, oh my goodness, they did this because they were white. And I'm sorry, I don't believe the line police officers out there were in any position to sort of figure out, oh, if this were, a Black Lives Matter, protester, insurgents, that we would be acting differently. I think putting that motive on there is very aggravating to me. There were decisions made at a high level that maybe they decided these people weren't dangerous. I don't know, but I don't think the line Capitol police officers, they were fighting for their lives and fighting for their sort of safety. And I want people to remember that in June of 2020, we had a riot in St. Louis. Cops were shot. Former officer Dorn was murdered. I had friends who were pinned against dumpsters for 45 minutes in gunfire. St. Louis City burned in a lot of places. So don't tell me that there weren't riots. There were riots, okay? And those people are criminals, just like these people are criminals. And they should all be treated the same. Now, do I think that maybe there was a decision by Trump or someone that said, we're not going to put out everything, for this kind of protest? Maybe. But I really am fed up about hearing about the line cops who are just trying to do their job, that somehow they all got together to say, we're going to treat these people differently than we would treat other people.
No, there is, I watched a piece of video earlier today, because there's been this allegation that some of the Capitol Police let people in. There is a piece of video where allegedly, and I'm having trouble hearing it, there is a police officer who says, we were basically sort of along the lines of, we're with you, but we can't let you in. I don't know. There's still a lot of questions about some of this that are unanswered, and the allegations get out there. I want to see proof, as I often do with most of these things. Where are you, Jack Cotter, right now on these next 12 days? I mean, your party wants to push forward with impeachment, articles on Monday. There's talk of the 25th Amendment. The reality of it is, and look, I have concerns about who's running the show, because I think it's been Pence anyway for the last couple of months, but isn't it just time to kind of get to these next 12 days and get Biden into office and then be done with it?
I'd love to say that. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think the 25th Amendment thing is going to happen. I mean, this isn't an episode of 24 or the West Wing, although we're all familiar with the process now. And I've seen some nice flow charts of how the 25th Amendment works online. But I would support, I say, go for it. Impeach the guy again. Why the hell not? I mean, at this point, the guy has done so much. Look at how much damage he did in one afternoon. Inciting a mob and a riot at the Capitol. I mean, this guy, while he may be off Twitter, he still has the nuclear codes. So I would say, yes, impeach him, send it over to the Senate, and the Senate can decide, will they get to the 2/3 they need to convict the guy? Probably not, but I bet there's going to be more senators willing to convict him this time than there were last time. And if it does succeed, Donald Trump's out of our lives. He cannot hold public office anymore. And so I think it's worth trying.
That to me is the deal here. This guy, there's been no consequences for this guy's behavior from day one. And I would like to see him not be able to hold office again and to be impeded. I would like to see him take the slap of being impeached again. He may not be convicted, but they're a censure. Like, you're going to censure a guy because he's gleeful that these people are busting through the Capitol? I mean, we know they have people who said that he was basically happy that these people were storming the Capitol. He later came out with some fake speech, but you know, there.
Well, let me talk about that. Hang on. I want to stop right there because I was going to bring up the speech. So, Dave, let me roll a little of the audio here. This was bizarre to me. I'd spent all day yesterday on the air, and then I see this alert come over about a video that Trump had done. I watched this last night. I had to watch it a couple of times because I was fascinated by it. And I'll explain that in a second. But here's part of it.
A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power.
All right, so we don't even have to listen to much more except saying that it appeared that either someone had their hand up his ass and was moving his head and mouth, or there was a shock collar on him, and if he veered, they hit the buzzer. The question is, why did that happen? Well, is it because he's worried about criminal prosecution? There are theories. That was a weird, I mean, there have been a lot of weird Donald Trump moments, but that was a bizarre 3 minutes in that speech.
He was medicated.
Yeah, that's CYA.
Well, I will tell you that it took what happened on that fateful day for him to realize this is over. It's over. I think that's what this is about. And to say there's no consequences, he lost the election. That's a huge consequence. That's a bigger.
He doesn't think he lost the election, Tim. He doesn't think he lost the election.
He's not going to be there on January 20th. Okay.
This happened after he lost the election. There should be consequences. He had, for being a crappy leader, he wasn't reelected. But now he needs consequences for inciting people to storm the Capitol.
Yeah, I don't think the 25th Amendment or an impeachment are going to be successful. It's going to be a waste of time. There's more important things right now that this country needs to focus on.
I agree with that.
How did this happen? How do we stop it from happening in the future? That's important right now, not an impeachment or a 25th Amendment issue.
Well, yeah,
but also, how do we...
What Tim said, I mean, what other government buildings can people just waltz into? I mean, you know, this is the U.S. Capitol, and these guys overran it pretty easily.
Yeah, I will tell you, they had protesters in Jeff City at the exact same time they had a rally at the Capitol. And there were gentlemen with AK-47s outside sitting on the inauguration platform. And you know what? They could have overrun the Missouri Capitol in 15 seconds. And so this idea that this is like an anomaly, I mean, guys, these Capitol buildings, they're supposed to be for the people, and they are. But
well, that should be a lesson. It really should, because I've been to the Capitol many times, and I've never thought it was easy to get into any of those office buildings or to the Capitol. So it's disturbing. How, though, pushing forward, Chief, I'll start with you on this. Because I do think, and this is, I know this is something that Senator Hawley and Senator Cruz are trying to emphasize. I don't like the way they did it, but there is going to have to be something over the next few years that gives people, even though maybe a lot of folks still won't believe it, some satisfaction that the elections are being run the way that they are. And I said yesterday, I'm not a big blue ribbon panel commission type of person, but if we don't have something that roots out the actual incidents of fraud, of which I think there were certainly many of those, not enough to swing the election, but we have to have some return to confidence because of the perception that this was stolen.
I think one of the things, when I was the police chief, we initiated multiple investigations, really after every election, where there were allegations of, usually they had to do with absentee ballots, that there was fraud involved in absentee of voting. That's true. But what I don't believe ever happened, it's not large numbers. And what we're going to have to show is when we prove that people have abused and committed crimes related to our elections, people have to be charged and people have to go to jail. And the only way you can do that is to do an investigation on it. But I will tell you that I've never seen what I would call widespread voter fraud. I just haven't seen it. Definitely lower level 10, 15, 20 votes, those type of things. And I never actually saw one with fraud where it actually affected the outcome of who won the election.
Well, but right. We have a congressional race in New York, in the 22nd district in New York, that is so close it hasn't been called yet. And there has been fraud that has been, you know, and it's been small numbers, but it doesn't matter. It's affected that race. Jack, go ahead.
Right. And look, in any election, there could be a handful of votes here or there. And when it comes down to a handful of votes, that's what election contests are for. And that's what the courts are for, to go through the painstaking process of ballot by ballot. But the vast majority of elections in this country are accurate and fair and free of fraud. And we've got great bipartisan teams of election officials in Missouri and elsewhere that work their butts off on these things. And all it takes is the likes of the Josh Hawleys and the Ted Cruzes and the Donald Trumps of the world to start to break people's confidence in what is this, in a system that actually works pretty well and is very accurate. And we've got to get back to recognizing these election officials for the professionals that they are and the patriots that they are, that are going in every day in a bipartisan manner and doing their jobs.
Hang on, we got to take a break. We're coming back. We'll do a little bit of a speed round because we do have some news in St. Louis County, and Tim Fitch was a part of that the other night. So we'll get to that. Also, a new entrant to the county executives race in Shamed Dogan. Much more to come on the Reardon Roundtable this afternoon coming up next.
The Reardon Roundtable on KMOX.
Welcome back. Some allegations, by the way, that have come out of the California Angels organization about doctoring baseballs. And Adam Wainwright's name was mentioned. That Kevin Wheeler, right after 3 o'clock, we're going to talk about that. Let's do a little speed round here with Jane Duker, St. Louis County Councilman Tim Fitch, St. Louis Alderman Jack Coder. Chief, I'll start with you. We had, of course, you had a county council meeting on Tuesday night, which focused on leadership. There is a lot of nuance to that because of a new council member. If you can put this in synopsis form for us and tell where we are, tell us where we are in this.
Well, basically, the majority at the time of the county council members decided to extend Rochelle Walton Gray's term by 11 days in violation of the Missouri Constitution and the Charter. Her term expired at basically January 1st at midnight because it was for 4 years. And they said, no, we think it needs to go 12 more days until the new council member under the new charter is sworn in. And that seat should have been vacant. Well, they decided, well, we need her to pass some legislation and to pick a new chair and vice chair. So they decided to extend her term for another 11 days till January 12th until the new councilwoman, Shalonda Webb, is sworn in. So the vote would have been a 3-3 tie on who the chair and vice chair would have been, except for the fact that they allowed Rochelle Walton Gray to participate. So she was allowed to vote, and Lisa Clancy was selected for a second year as the chair. Ernie Trakas was selected as the vice chair. And basically, Mark, what we're going to do on Tuesday is unravel that, and we're going to turn around and do exactly what the charter said we can do to fix that. So they will basically be, those seats will be vacated, and we'll vote in a new chair and vice chair.
It's in my
Jane has very little opinion on this, but I'll let her weigh in anyway. Shocking. I know you've been barely tweeting about it, but go ahead.
I know. Well, no, I mean, it is really, we talk about like people just boldly violating the law and subverting democracy. And look, the Post-Dispatch actually editorialized and said that they were subverting democracy. If you're a lib in St. Louis County and the Post-Dispatch is turned on you, you're losing. And I mean, so that's a major problem. My understanding is the new councilwoman may have even already been sworn in, and they're still trying to pull out from under her and not let her vote on the new leadership. What this would have been like, Mark, is if before even the results of Georgia, or right after the Georgia results were in, if Mitch McConnell had said, okay, we're going to go ahead and vote for leadership right now. I mean, oh my God, there would have been a revolt, because of course you would wait for the new people to be seated and they choose the new leadership. But they did it, and they have no remorse. I mean, they have been barreling through violating the charter at a million miles an hour in St. Louis County. And I am wondering when, I'm glad that the new majority is coming, because maybe some of these people will start being held accountable.
Coder.
All this nonsense in the county, it's making the Board of Aldermen look like a well-oiled machine.
Seriously. That is true, Jack.
I thought we were dysfunctional.
I mean, have you ever heard of that in the city where people...
I mean, no, I mean, this whole thing, you guys are studying this a lot closer than me. I'm just reading what I see in the paper and see on Twitter, but it seems crazy to me that, we're going to extend somebody's someone who lost an election, extend her term. That just seems nuts, but it sounds like you guys
can
undo
it. But just the bottom line, Chief,
next
so
week.
Are you saying you can? Because I still want to know what the practicality of this is. You're saying that can be undone next week then?
Yes, the charter makes it very clear that the council members get to decide the qualifications of its members. I would expect a majority of the council on the 12th, on Tuesday, will decide that Rochelle Walton Gray was not qualified to be a member of the council at the time of the vote on the 5th, which would make those elections null and void, and we have to start over. We can do that.
Mm-hmm. State Representative Shamed Dogan entered the county executive's race this week. Is Tim Fitch going to enter that race? So then I can run for his seat.
Shamed did call me before he made the decision to find out if I was going to run. And I said, Shamed, 2 years is an eternity. But if you're going to run, let me know what I could do to help, because we have to get Sam Page out of there. Simple as that.
Amen.
Jack and Jane, is he? I like him. I don't know him that well. He was on the day before this, and we were talking about recreational marijuana. I wish he would have kind of tipped me as to his plans. But how serious of a candidate?
Well, I mean, I think being a Republican in St. Louis County can be challenging. However, we've seen Republicans come very close to winning. I mean, I think Rick Stream was only 1,300 votes, so, I mean, it's not impossible. And I think given that, you know, we're getting through the pandemic, however slowly, the vaccine coming, I think that the carnage created by Sam Page in St. Louis County is going to be, it's going to be difficult for him to overcome. So I think that the challenging Page, this would be the time to do it.
And I hate that.
You know, when he's an African American libertarian conservative, he's not, you know, he's not an
serious candidate. I mean, you know, he's a real politician. He's gotten himself elected to the legislature a couple times. Yep. He's going to have some crossover appeal in North County. Yes. I mean, he's a real candidate.
Well, the other thing, Jack, is maybe stealing an idea from the city, and it's not often I do that, by the way. I really think we need to go to nonpartisan elections in St. Louis County. I really believe that.
Not if you just don't copy and paste the law we've passed, because it's got a lot of problems.
Not just like that, but not nonpartisan.
I agree with an actually bipartisan agreement. I think we should have nonpartisan. I think Prop D is crazy with this whole weirdo ranking voting. And I believe in one person, one vote, like the Constitution. But you know what? In St. Louis County, it's not about these flashpoint national issues. Partisan issues. It's the train needs to run on time. The snow needs to be removed. Roads need to be taken care of. You know, we need to, you know, support our small businesses. We, you know, this kind of stuff. And I would like to get the partisan nonsense out of St. Louis County, because I think it's been horribly detrimental.
What would be the path for that? Is that something that has to go to the vote of the people?
We'd have to have, first of all, I asked Lisa Clancy if she was interested in co-sponsoring a bill with me to do just that, to put it on the ballot. And she said, absolutely not. St. Louis County is proudly a Democrat majority county.
She was supportive of the effort in the city.
Yep.
So I know.
That was her answer. So that means, you know, we might be able to, with the new council member, get some interest. But short of that, we'll have to do a citizen petition initiative to put it on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Which is not that difficult.
No.
But it is funny how it was good enough for the city, but not for the county. I mean, right. The hypocrisy is on display quite often.
One final question, 60 seconds, and here again, all politics, but we seem to have maybe gotten a little bit over the hump with COVID in this region. Anyone think that that's the case, or are we being fooled?
I mean, it's hard to say because, you know, I mean, Sam Page says, you know, everything is awful and everything's going horrible, but then he decides he wants to reopen the restaurant so things aren't so bad. So,
I mean, hey, by the way, on that note, I'm going to Fleming's tomorrow night, and interestingly enough, we got a private room. I think there's 10 of us. Weird, Chief. Everyone's name is Sam Page, and thank you for sharing his address, because I have that, too. That is my name at Fleming's tomorrow night. No, oh, yeah, I got the phone number, too. You bet. There is not a chance in hell I'm signing my real name, but I'm happy to go out to restaurants. Coder, great to see you. We'll play golf maybe in, March? James going to hang out
one of these days.
I know. I hit balls a couple of times this week. Chief, good to see you, man. We'll talk soon. Jane, hang out, all right? Back with more. Jim, second hour coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.